Good morning, and welcome to Trinity this morning. It is great to see you. I'm Reverend Catherine Fluck Price. I'm one of the pastors here of Trinity, and we really want to welcome you. And whether this is where you worship on a regular basis or you're here for the very first time, I say to you, welcome home. We are glad to have you here today, and I want to share with you just a minute about the mission boxes for this morning. They are for something called Charity Nerds, and it was started by a teenager. Heath and his dad may be in here right now, or they may be there. They're standing at the back. Yes. Heath is in high school, and he had the idea of providing electronic games to children who have disabilities, for children who are homebound, children and teenagers, or in the hospital. And so this morning we have the opportunity to support him with our mission boxes. So on your support that charity and the work that Heath is doing. And so on your way out this morning, I invite you to find the wooden boxes that are by the exit doors and to be generous in supporting that local mission this morning. I also want to share with you a little bit about what is coming up this week. We have a week full of some wonderful worship opportunities. On Wednesday at 6:35, our regular worship in the chapel. And if you haven't been, I think they're finishing up their series based on Christmas past, present, and future, looking at Charles Dickens' Scrooge. Then on Thursday evening, we'll have a longest night service. It's called that because that is the longest night of the year. It's also a time when we as a community can come together and have a service celebrating the holidays for those for whom the holidays might not be an easy time, for those who are mourning, for those who are struggling in one way or another. So I invite you to come if that would apply to you, or if you know someone who might be touched by a service like that, I invite you to come and invite them to come with you, a friend or a neighbor or a colleague, as well as Aaron and Lenora, two of our pastors leading that service, Reverend Jan Richardson, who grew up at Trinity and has been a part of Trinity. She'll be participating in that service as well, and I know it will be very meaningful. Then next Sunday, we will celebrate in the morning the fourth Sunday of Advent with a service at what time? 10 o'clock. Good. One service, 10 o'clock. And we look forward to seeing you all there. And then we anticipate you'll return for one of the five services on Sunday evening. We'll have a 3 o'clock children's service, a 4:30 service that is traditional, a 6:30 service that is contemporary, a 9:30 service that is sunlight and a blended service. And the pre-concert starts at 9, so don't forget that. And then at 11 o'clock, another traditional service in the chapel. So it will be a wonderful day of worship. It will be a wonderful week of worship. And we will look forward to seeing you. I hope that you'll take a moment and fill out the Connect cards that are in your bulletin. Those are always a great way for us to be able to get connected and stay connected with you. If you are here for the first time, please share with us as much information as you are comfortable providing. And if you're here on a regular basis, if you'll at least give us your name and your email, that will help us to stay in touch with you. We sure appreciate it. And now let me invite you to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Please wish them a Merry Christmas. Introduce yourself if you don't know them.
All remain standing and worship with us as we sing Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. He who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and
The newborn King, the King of Heaven that came to dwell among us. May we prepare room in our hearts for Heaven to dwell within us. And so as we continue to worship, let us honor the Prince of Peace with Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth.
Strong to say in your mighty name. Zechariah, the one whose name means God remembered, was able to see God's faithfulness in the gift of his son. A new dawn was breaking, and the promise of peace was on the horizon. God of deep compassion, may the dawn from heaven break upon us this morning, giving light to those who are in darkness, as you fill us with hope and guide us on the path of peace that leads to life everlasting. Amen.
in this season of giving, we have the opportunity to give back to God with grateful hearts from that which He has given us. And so let us worship God with offering, and I'll begin by praying for us. Gracious God, we thank You this morning that You are the giver of every good thing we enjoy in life, and it is with joyful and grateful hearts that we give back to You from what You have given us. We pray, O God, that You use our tithes, our offerings, for the good of advancing Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. opportunity now to lift a prayer for peace on earth together as we unite our hearts and go to God, giving thanks and praise for the ways that He's been at work in our lives and also lifting to Him the concerns that we might have brought with us today. And so I will begin our time of prayer together with some sacred silence to allow you to speak to God in the quiet of your heart the specific prayers that you have today. So let us pray together. Come, thou long expected Jesus, come to us anew this Advent, and bring your heavenly light to break through our darkness and show us the way of peace and justice in our world. We long to be a people of hope, peace, joy, and love, so we humbly lift up to you all the broken places in our lives and in the world around us. Bring peace to every corner of the world where war, violence, or destruction have become a way of life. For all those who are overwhelmed with loss, mental or physical illness, or addiction, we ask for healing, compassionate care, and a new possibility of joy. God with us, even as we have prayed for those in need, we would exclude some from your loving kindness. Teach us to see with your eyes and to value all human beings the same way as you. Grant us the courage to confront our own prejudices and to stand against those who act in hatred. Help us to recognize you in ourselves, in each other, and in everyone we encounter. By your tender mercy, guide our feet in the way of reconciliation and peace. This Advent, remind us that you are the God who is come, has come, and will come again, and that we are your people. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
God of Israel, who comes to set us free, to visit and redeem us, and grant us liberty. The benediction. I hear that's the word that priests use these days to talk about my song. That song that I sang all those years ago. I suppose that works if you're into Latin. The word I would use, I would choose overwhelmed by joy, by hope, by gratitude, by love. It was the eighth day after my son's birth. That's a very important day for my people, you know. I mean, this was the day that we would present him in the temple. This is the day that he would get his name. This was the day when he would be circumcised as a sign that he was a part of God's covenant people, the chosen ones. By the way, I hear you still practice that today? These old ears were quite surprised to hear that. A little barbaric, don't you think? But I digress. It was the eighth day after my son's birth. But wait a minute. Before I tell you that, I should probably share a little bit about who I am and about what happened before that day. My name is Zechariah. It means God remembers. You know, names are important in my tradition. Names should mean something. Names should tell you something about the person. Maybe you're familiar with the names of some of my people. Isaac, does that one sound familiar to you? Laughter. Jacob. Heel grabber. Ruth. Loyal companion. Names matter. But I don't think that my parents could have had any idea just how significant the name they chose for me would become. I mean, it made sense. Zechariah, God remembers. After all, I come from a long line of priests. Ever since the day that King David had appointed my ancestor Abijah, our line had been fulfilling our priestly duties in the temple, taking our turns as Israel's representative before God and all the people. It was our job to help remind the people that indeed God does remember. And God is faithful to the covenant. Isn't it funny that sometimes those of us who know the story the best are the ones who are also the quickest to forget? It's exactly what happened to me on that unforgettable fall day. There I was, as the one who had been chosen on that occasion to enter into the most holy of places and offer up sweet-smelling incense. Me, a priest, one who would enter the Lord's sanctuary while the people waited and worshiped just outside. Me, as one who was supposed to be an example for them, to model for them what it meant to trust and obey. And on that day, failed them. I failed to trust. Yes, I'm afraid it's true. It happened just the way that Dr. Luke told it in his memoirs. I went in that day. I went in to offer incense and sacrifice, and there as I knelt before the altar, an angel appeared. His name was Gabriel. God's able-bodied one. And in case you're wondering, yes, that is the same Gabriel who also visited Mary. But did you know that he came to visit me 6 months before he went to visit Mary? But I digress again. People tell me that happens in their old age. Anybody familiar with that? Speaking of old age, have I mentioned yet that I was already quite old when I entered the sanctuary that day? Anyway, there I was, kneeling before the altar, when this able-bodied angel appears hovering over the altar. I see you have an angel on your altar this morning. Well, let me just tell you that the angel I saw that day didn't look anything like this one. Oh no, this able-bodied angel was male and was quite different. Looked a little more like, what's that actor you watch these days? Diesel. That's more like what that angel looked like. So forgive me if tumbling turbans, I was a little bit scared when he showed up. And you know what the first thing he said was? You know? Don't be afraid, Zechariah. As if I wasn't going to have a little bit of fear in this old man's heart at seeing such a sight above the altar. Thank goodness he kept talking. The next thing he said was, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. And it didn't take long before I realized that he continued to speak. He wasn't talking about the prayers that I came in to offer for the people that day. He was talking about my prayers. He was talking about the secret longings that I had kept locked deep within my heart for years. The ones that I hadn't even uttered to Elizabeth for fear that I would make her feel even worse about being childless for so long. It was the prayers that I had lifted silently to the Lord over and over and over again. There it was. There I was in that place. And God had heard me. And an angel had appeared to tell me that God had heard me. And I failed to trust. On that day, when Gabriel showed up to tell me that, in fact, exactly what I had been praying for was going to happen, I no longer had the faith to believe it. You ever had that happen? Gabriel went on and told me more about this child that would be born. That this, I wouldn't only have a son, but this boy would grow up to do great things. He would be a part of God's plan for salvation, a part of preparing the way for Messiah. My son would be one who helped lead people back to God again. His name? Gabriel told me that his name God's gracious gift. It was more than I could hope for or imagine. So I didn't trust. And so Gabriel pronounced my sentence for my disbelief. A 9-month timeout from speaking. Imagine that, a priest who can't say anything for 9 months. But that's exactly what Gabriel told me. And so for the entire time that Elizabeth would carry this child, I would be speechless. Imagine the surprise on the people's faces as I went out of the sanctuary that day and could not say a word to them. They must have seen something different in my face, something that told them an extraordinary thing had occurred. But no matter how hard I tried, just as Gabriel had said, I couldn't get any words to come out. I couldn't tell them anything about the news that I had just received. Those 9 months, though, they turned out to be one of God's greatest gifts to me. Left without a voice, I didn't leave the house very much during those days. God is working on me, preparing me. God was shaping my heart and my faith for the message that I would deliver one day that would be the most important one I ever had delivered. And not only that, because I didn't leave the house very much in those days, that day when Mary showed up to visit Elizabeth, I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. You know that thing that Luke talks about? How my son, while he was still in the womb, did that moving around? It really happened. Not like anything I'd ever seen. It was as if he was a little drummer boy banging on the inside wall of his mother's belly. Craziest thing you've ever seen. And Elizabeth? Oh, how I wish she could have seen that. She was already 6 months pregnant by this. I mean, pregnancy is never easy. But for her, at her age, it was exhausting. And on top of that, she had a husband with whom she couldn't even share a conversation. That woman, I am so proud of her. Because from the day that Mary showed up to tell her about her pregnancy, she was all in. Her faith in God soared. It was as if she became crystal clear about the amazing plan that God was orchestrating that would involve her child and Mary's child together. She shared such love and offered such attention to Mary during those days and gave her a safe place to stay for those first 3 months. Mary left just a few days before Elizabeth was to deliver. I could talk forever about the day our son was born. It was the perfect day. The joy that I saw on Elizabeth's face when she saw him for the first time. The longings that bubbled up from deep within me for words to be able to speak my gratitude to God for how good God had been to us. It was the perfect day. But alas, it is getting late. And I still haven't told you the rest of the story about that day that we were in the temple with him. And I really must share that before I go. It was the eighth day after my son's birth. And all of the family had come together with us to celebrate. They were hovering around Elizabeth, waiting for her to announce his name. I still couldn't speak, and I was beginning to wonder, quite frankly, if I would ever talk again. And so there they were, waiting for Elizabeth to say the word. Now, for a week before this, mind you, they had all been offering their suggestions. Everybody seemed to have their idea about what we should name our son. All family names, lots of them, some I didn't even remember. But then the one that everyone seemed to be able to rally around, Zechariah. It's a good name. And it was a name that would have made great sense. After all, this was our firstborn son. And at our age, sure to be our only child. What a wonderful gesture by our family. It was the perfect choice in their opinion. It's just that it's not the name that God had chosen. Not the one that God had put on Mary's heart or my heart. Elizabeth did not deny or confirm any of their suggestions, of course. It wouldn't have been right to share the name before the proper time. So now here we were on the eighth day, and they all leaned in close with Elizabeth, and you could hear them say collectively, "Well?" And they were just certain that the word they would hear coming out of Elizabeth's mouth was Zechariah, except that they didn't. No, when she said instead, "No, his name will be John," you should have heard them. You would have thought, by the way the family reacted, that she had committed blasphemy in that moment. John? Who is John? Why in the world would you name him John? We don't have anybody in the family named John. Elizabeth, what are you thinking? And then, when they realized that this calm and steady and strong woman was not going to give them any different answer from that, well, then someone pointed my way. I could see what was going to happen next. Mama hadn't given them the answer they were looking for. So now they would go to the father, the man of the house, to see what he had to say about things. Please tell me that doesn't still happen today? So here I was, and like a migration of little ants on a sugar packet, they all came over to me. And they waited, and since I still couldn't speak, I motioned to my nephew to get me a tablet. Not like the ones you have today, those fancy ones with the screens. No, no, I'm talking about an old-fashioned tablet. And as I waited for him to bring it, I looked over at Elizabeth. And we smiled at each other. You know, even though I couldn't speak for those 9 months, we grew closer during that time than ever before. So when my nephew finally got there with the tablet and handed it to me, I took it and I began to write very slowly. Oh, I had fun drawing this out, let me tell you. His name is. Then I stopped for a minute and looked up and looked in each one of their faces around me. I glanced back at Elizabeth one more time. And this time, as well as a smile, I saw a tender tear of joy coming down. And then I put my head down again. And again, very slowly, I wrote, John. And then I thought to myself, God's gracious gift. And that's when it happened. That is when God unlocked my lips and I sang. I sang and I sang and I sang. And God kept filling my mouth with words to sing about what God was doing in that amazing moment. It was a song of God's faithfulness and love. It was a song of blessing. It was a song of salvation and hope. It was a song of peace. And it was a song that reminded me and anyone who could hear me that day of what I had forgotten the day that Gabriel. God remembers. God remembers. Thank God. God remembers. On prisoners of darkness, the sun begins to rise. The dawning of upon the sinner's eyes, to guide the feet of pilgrims upon the paths of peace. Oh, bless our God and Savior with songs that never.
John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Bless the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to help and has delivered his people. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in his servant David's house, just as he said through the mouths of his holy prophets long ago. He has brought salvation from our enemies and from the power of all those who hate us. He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the solemn pledge he made to our ancestor Abraham. He has granted that we would be rescued from the power of our enemies so that we could serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness in God's eyes for as long as we live. You, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You will tell his people how to be saved through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide us on the path of peace.
We come to this table to lift up our hearts in thanks and praise. We come to this table to remember God's great love for us. We remember that God created us out of the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into us. We remember that when we turned away from God and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. We remember that God delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God. We remember that God spoke to us through the saints and prophets and sages. We remember that when the time was right, God came to us in John the Baptist, who encouraged us to prepare the way, to repent, to turn to God, and to receive God's forgiveness. And God came to us in the flesh, in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Jesus humbled himself and was obedient to God, even to the point of death, death on the cross, for our sake. And so we come and we remember. We remember that on the night before he died, he gathered the disciples around him and he took a loaf of bread and he broke the bread and he gave it to them and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he poured it and he gave thanks to God. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come. We come and we offer ourselves as followers of Christ, as a holy and living offering for God. As we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Will you pray with me? Lord, I pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we can go out into the world as the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, we pray that you will make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, until the heavens dawn, and we feast together around your banquet table. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to join us at the church, the table is a place where everyone is welcome. The table is open for all. So we invite you to come forward out the left side of your row and go to the station in front of you, receive a piece of bread and take that and dip it into the cup, and then you can return to your seats by the other side. This morning as you come, either before or after you receive communion, I invite you to come to the kneeling benches as well. This is a time when you can prepare your heart and you can follow John's command for us to repent and believe in God. So I ask you to come and offer your hearts to God. There's also gluten free on either side, and if you need that, please just ask the servers near there, and they'd be happy to serve you. Please come. Everything's ready. Surrendered everything to unravel our fears. Together. Oh God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we might go out into the world now in the strength of your love, that we might be agents to make all things new by the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. So just as we responded to the lone voice that called us to prepare a way for the Lord, we now have an opportunity to respond to God's call and to go out and tell others to come in next week and come celebrate the birth of our newborn King. So will you stand and sing Go Tell It on the Mountain with us this morning?
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Go like the prophet Zechariah with that song on our lips, singing praise and glory to the God Most High. And may we go like his son John the Baptist to make the way, to prepare the way for the Lord's coming. We'll see you next Sunday when we worship together celebrating our newborn King. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you.
Christ is born. One more time. Go tell it.
it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Oh, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, that Jesus Christ is born.